Welcome to church today. How many are happy to be here? Amen. It is good to be together here at Bethel Christian Church. We are so glad that you're here with us today. Today is one of my favorite days of the year. I love annual business meeting day. Anyone else enjoy annual business meeting? Couple people are getting excited, hopefully, right? It's always a good day just to be able to come together, worship Jesus with our church family, and then go eat together. That's always a highlight, right? And then come back and talk about our Jesus and talk about our church. I love talking about our church. And this is my favorite place to be on Sunday morning, and I'm glad that you are here with us today. If this is your first time, we just want to say thank you for being here. It is good to have you as part of our church family and enjoying this time together this morning. And so we welcome you. I know coming to a new church is a little bit nerve-wracking, maybe a little uncomfortable even, but we're glad that you've taken this step forward and coming and joining us today. We're here to grow together in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so whether that's your kids or you yourself, right, our prayer is that every one of us will grow deeper in our relationship with the Lord. And if you would, again, be so kind to grab one of these cards down to your left, to the right, you will see those, and just make sure you grab one of those, fill that out. And also, if there is a prayer need, how many know there's power in prayer? Amen. Seriously, if you have a prayer need, if you're believing in something and you're just saying, God, help this situation, help whatever it is, just go ahead and write it down. You don't have to put your name on there if you don't want to, but we're just going to pray over these prayer needs, and we're going to believe that God's going to continue to move in your life as we continue to grow together. But I also want to say thank you on behalf of the pastors for the pastor appreciation, the gifts and the cards and all those different things that you gave over the last couple of weeks, and just want to say thank you. It is a privilege to be able to serve here in Parma, Ohio. We are blessed to be able to be part of such an incredible church, right? And you're part of an incredible church here today, and so we're just so thankful that we are here together, and just thank you on behalf of the staff for that. Well, today we're starting, we're kicking off some new things, right? As a church family, you know, and so today's a little bit different than what we might normally do and the way I might normally preach, if you will, but we're going to talk a little bit about who we are as Bethel Christian Church. And so over this last year, our staff has been on a journey just praying, God, give us, God, reveal to us what your preferred future is for our church. And that's what we've been praying, and that's the heartbeat of what we've been walking through as a staff over the last several months, starting off, months ago, probably about January, we started reading some things together and started having conversations and just praying together. And I came across this verse this last year, and this verse has meant something into my life. You know, sometimes you read a verse and it just sort of sticks. Well, this has been one of those verses this year that just sort of has just rested in my heart. It comes out of Romans chapter 15, verse 13, and it says this: I pray that God, the source of hope — who's our source of hope? God, right? — will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Right? God's the source of hope. I pray, right, is what he's saying here. I pray that the God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. We can have joy and peace in our lives when we trust in Him. Right? What a beautiful verse and beautiful thoughts here. Then you will overflow with confident hope. How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope is something that we need in our lives, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later in this message today. But that hope of Jesus Christ and how God's hope and the hope of God transforms our lives. It's powerful when we have an encounter with our God, and as we allow the Holy Spirit to guide our steps, and as we walk in partnership with the Holy Spirit in our lives, how the Holy Spirit can overflow our hearts with hope. How many need hope today? Right? We all need hope. Maybe you're in a situation right now that you're saying, dear God, what is going on? And you need hope. Well, we can hang on as we trust in God. He'll overflow us with joy and peace. And that source of our hope is our God. This morning I have a couple of props up here. These look a little old, maybe, because they go back to 1977, right? So here's some blueprints of the building you're sitting in today. I don't know what that is. Maybe that's a site plan. I don't know. A plot plan is that one. And then there's pages and pages of blueprints of this church body from 1977, from this church facility, rather, from 1977. Was anyone here in 1977 when this building was built? A couple of people were here. I see a couple of hands up. You know that people that have been around here like 50 years or so, right? That's pretty awesome that we have people that have been around this church for so long. But there's some plans, right? Actually, I looked at the blueprint of this build of this room while I was going through blueprints, and this one must be an early revision because some of the staircases back here are a little bit different going in and out of the baptistry tank, according to what I read in my novice approach to looking at blueprints, I'll be honest. But it looks like this might have been revision one. I don't know. Maybe there's other revisions. And then we have bricks. You know, back behind our church, we still have some bricks out behind the garage of when we built. I don't know if this is a brick for this building. It probably is a brick from the addition of this building. And so we have a stack of them back there. But bricks, right? Things that built this church. And blueprints are important, right? Why are blueprints important? They're important because in order for the builders to be able to be on the same page, they need to be working off the same blueprints, don't they? If they're not working on the same blueprints, again, I'm no construction, guru, but I would say that it's probably going to end up a mess, right? If you don't have everything precisely where it needs to go, the whole crew needed to be working together in order to build this building that we're setting in today. And then we have bricks, right, or foundation stones. I didn't bring a piece of concrete, but I brought a brick. Okay, so go with me today. All right, there's a foundation that's necessary for a building in order to be built properly, right? And so this building went through that process years and years ago. Well, this series explores our identity and our guiding values. And so we're going to kick off this series by looking at some of our identity, who we are and who God's calling us to be, and explains the reasons behind our actions. The blueprints represent the mission and the vision that God has given us in our lives. The foundation stones, right? They can, look at and evaluate maybe some of our values. But it's really about the people that give this church life, right? It's God and coming together to worship Him that gives this church life. When this church is empty, it's not very lively in here, let me tell you. Sometimes if you've been around church, there's been times in my life as a pastor, and even before I was a pastor, that you find yourself in the dark church. Has anyone ever been in a dark church? Right? How many know sometimes it's a little creepy in a church at night when it's dark out? It's like, wow, it's so dark in here. I can't see where I'm going. I don't know what's around this corner. I'm not familiar maybe with all the ins and outs of this building, right? And I've been in here at times on different days, and then all of a sudden I hear a weird noise. And then I find out I'm not in the building by myself, and that happens from time to time as well. And so I have to go investigate. What in the world is that? I don't know how I got there. But anyway, the idea that we need people in the church in order for it to have life, right? We need the power of God in our church in order for us to have life. And we gather together every Sunday to worship our King and worship our Lord as a church family. And we're just excited to be with together here today. On the first screen there, or on my shirt, we have just a new logo, new design that we're launching, and you'll hear more about that as we get into our annual business meeting, and we'll talk about kids ministry, youth ministry, different branding, and different things like that we're doing in the midst of all these different transitions that we're walking through. But today's a new chapter for our church family. We're running together in a renewed way. We're launching a fresh vision for our church, outlined, by. and maybe you got a card on your way in today that was at the different tables and places that you can grab one, or maybe someone handed one to you today. Also, you can see it on our Instagram. I think the images are there. You can see it on our website. That's been launched, you know, and so you can see some of those things that we're kicking off today. But since the start of the year, again, our church staff has been together praying and seeking God about His preferred future for our church. And this is not something we've taken lightly. We have spent hours and hours and hours around the table discussing and praying about, you know, what God's calling us into as a church family. But I don't want to look at that just to look at the future. I want us to look for a few moments, if you will, you know, look back at some of the past. This church has a rich history and a rich story. If you don't know the story of Bethel Christian Church, let me tell you a little bit of highlights that I've learned. And I don't know the story because I've only been here 2 years, right? But you know, there's a lot of things that I've learned over the years through conversations and through documents that I've processed over the last couple of years. But this church's roots go back to 1939. I won't ask if anyone was alive in 1939. You don't have to confess that today. But it goes back to 1939. And there were people that were in this area that were starting to pray for God, we need a Pentecostal church in our area. There were construction people that were praying, God, give us a building. God, we need to plant a church in this Parma area for you to do some incredible things with. And then in 1940, they found a place. 1940, I think there's a picture of a house up there. And so 1940 or 40, yeah, 40, they began services in this house. It still stands on Westlake Drive? Avenue. Westlake Avenue. Thank you. You know, off of Ridge Road. And so you can still drive by. I drove by this house several times. God, you know, you started something there 85 years ago. God, continue to do something today as we continue to believe that God's going to continue to use our church in powerful ways. And so there was a vision there. It started to take reality in that house. Others quickly saw the reality, joined in the excitement of what God was doing, and they quickly outgrew this home. Didn't take long before, you know, in fact, in a year and a half, they started services in another place. But here we have some pictures from another place in 1941. God led this group of people to purchase a house with an adjacent empty lot on Ridge Road. It's 5966 is the actual address, which in my brief Google searches, I believe is now where Third Federal Bank sits on Ridge Road. And so that's where the church, you know, they bought this house with an empty lot and they built a church. And so the story goes that these people were, you know, they bought this land through a move of God for $5,500. Not a lot of money in today's economy, but back then it was a lot, right? $5,500. They bought that building and they bought that land, and then they started working. So the men would work their jobs during the day, and then at night they would go by the facility or go by this land, and they would start building this building that would house their church. They started digging footers by hand, putting the foundation down, and all those kinds of things. You know, they said that under the bright lights, men would lay blocks and bricks, mix mortar and pour concrete. Women removed nails from used lumber that was salvaged, carried supplies, prepared meals, because you got to eat, right? You know, so they prepared some meals for us. The youth even helped dig and carry blocks and carry mortar, and it took about a year and a half to complete the building, and I think that's a picture of it. I don't know. That's one that came, that was in the history book. I don't know, maybe that's not that building, but anyway, in 1941, the congregation affiliated with the Assemblies of God. And then in 1960, so in 1959, 1960, 1959, the building and adjoining facility were at capacity. If you didn't arrive early, according to what I read, you didn't have a seat. Wouldn't that be a good problem to have? God, let's pray that again for Bethel Christian Church, right? Wouldn't it be awesome if you came in on Sunday morning and your seat was taken? Right? I hope you say, yes, that would be a good thing. This church better not ever go into a room and say, you're in my seat, please move. If you do that and I hear about it, we're probably going to have some a hard conversation. You know, I'm pretty gentle, generally speaking, but my face can get red and the veins can pop in my neck sometimes, just like the rest of you, right? But they decided we need to move. And so they bought this property. This was called Camp Robin. Camp Robin is what this place, this area was, this site was. In February 1960, the campgrounds included what I understand 15 acres of land, an old swimming hole. I don't know where that swimming hole, it must be back in that creek somewhere. We need to find that swimming hole. A large stable. They had a stable on the property and a house. The land was purchased for $40,000. God did some work. And then God kept growing our church. In 1964, some classrooms were added for $105,000. In 1979, this sanctuary was complete, and it only cost $850,000. If you did this building today, this sanctuary, I don't know how many millions it cost, but it would certainly be more than $850,000. Then in 1998, the gym was added for $800,000. You know, God's done some pretty incredible things in this church. As I was going through blueprints, here was a little fun one that I came across too. There were blueprints for something called the singing Christmas tree that used to be on the stage. You know, so I don't know. There were blueprints. I was like, why do we do blueprints for this? But anyway, it was pretty cool looking at the blueprints. I never saw a picture. So if you have a picture, I'd love to see what that singing Christmas tree looked like. But it went up and there were people singing all the way up in the rafters. I don't know. It looked pretty, the plans looked pretty cool. But man, God's done incredible things in this church. And you know what? Those are all the history side of things. And we never forsake what God has done. But we say, God, what are we going to continue to do? Right, God, we pray that you're going to move in a powerful way in this church. You know, there's been prophetic words that have been spoken over this church over the last several years, you know, that people in this church have heard and been part of those different meetings where those prophetic words have come forth. And I believe that God wants to do great things in this church still today. Right? He is doing great things, but I think he wants to do even greater things than we've experienced in the last decade or two or three or whatever. You know, there were moments in the first century church that there were transitional moments that took place in the life of that first century church. We're going to talk about those really briefly today, and then we'll get into vision and mission and all those kinds of things. But, you know, I want to share just for a brief moment that in that book of Acts, right, an incredible book. You know, Wednesday night we're going through chapters 1 through 12 right now, just sort of walking through the verses. And it's an incredible passage in God's Word. After the Gospels, Jesus hung out with his disciples, you know, before he ascended to the right hand of God, right? After he died and rose from the dead, he was with his people. There were 500 of them together at least at one time, and he was preaching and teaching them. And then he ascended to the right hand of God. After he ascended to the right hand of God, before he ascended to the right hand of God, he said, guys, wait here for the promise of God's Holy Spirit. It's going to be awesome, right? You need this empowerment to take place in your life if you're going to do everything that I'm calling you to do as a church. And so that's what we read about in Acts chapter 2, we read about the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. But there was a transitional moment there between when Jesus ascended and the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. Guess what took place in Acts chapter 1? A business meeting. Right? All the way back to right after Jesus died, the church came together and held a business meeting. Right? Judas betrayed Jesus. There was an opening in their staff structure. So they said, we need to hire someone new to fill his role, right? So that's what they did in that moment, right? They cast lots, is what Scripture says, and then they replaced him, and they prayed together, and then God's Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, 10 days later, and we see great things happen there. In Acts chapter 2, you know, there were 120 people together in the upper room praying for a move of God's Holy Spirit. Man, when God's people are praying unified prayers, God, move like we've never seen you move before. God, we need a fresh outpouring. As we sang today, we need a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. And that's what they were praying in Acts chapter 2. God, give us that fresh outpouring of your Spirit in our lives. And then God's Holy Spirit came down on that 120, and lives were changed, right? It says right there on that day of Pentecost, Peter got up and preached, and 3,000 people came to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. What an incredible thing that happened as they walked through that transitional moment. But that wasn't the only transitional moment that they faced as young church. They go on and they start talking about Acts chapter 6, the church selected its first deacons. There was a problem going on in the church. Anyone ever experienced problems in the church? There's a problem in the church. And some of the widows were not being fed. And they're saying, guys, we need to be fed too, right? And so, the apostles came together and said, what do we do? How do we fix this? Well, let's bring some deacons, right? What's a deacon? A deacon literally means they're a servant, right? And so they help. And so they helped the apostles so that they could continue to pray. They could continue to read God's word and study God's word and grow in God's word so that they can help navigate the church. And then they brought these deacons together to help with some of the daily distribution of food and some of those things that were going on there. So there was a change in leadership structure that brought about some great things that happened. And then in verse 7 of that passage of Acts chapter 6, it says, so God's message continued to spread, and a number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. So again, there was a change in structure, and what happened? God poured out his Spirit in an incredible way. And we could keep reading about these moments in the book of Acts that took place. In Acts chapter 10, the Holy Spirit comes and helps them understand that they need to start reaching out to the Gentiles. And what happened? That through a series of events, they said, we need to start reaching out to the Gentiles. They obeyed the word of God, and God spread across this world as a result of that transitional moment in the book of Acts. And there's a lot of those transitional moments. You can read about them all through Scripture on how God did some incredible things in the church's life. What God is calling our church to do this morning is examining, some of the things that we've been doing and saying, God, it's time for us, we're believing for that transitional moment for you to start doing something new within our church. I'm excited about what God is going to continue to do in our church. I hope you're excited too. I hope there's hope welling up in your heart saying, you know what, God's not done with Bethel Christian Church yet. You know what, the enemy better run, because you know what, this church is going to do some great things in this area for the kingdom of God. We are part of the kingdom of God. We're part of something special. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us as men and women of God. And so we walk with that authority and that anointing from God every day of our lives. Every day you walk around, you're walking under the anointing and the authority of Almighty God. And so I challenge you, how are you living your life? Are you living under that anointing and that authority of God? Or are you messing around with things that you shouldn't be messing around with? I challenge you to knock it off and start living with that anointing and that authority that God has placed in your life as men and women of God. Let's go out and do great things for our King and for our Lord. We come together, we have this holy huddle moment where we celebrate, worship our King, worship our Lord, and then we go out and continue to do the kingdom's business everywhere we go in our lives. So when considering vision, the verse that often comes to our mind is out of Proverbs, where there is no vision, the people perish. Right? We hear about that. We hear that verse, and all through Scripture, there's leaders that cast vision on, this is what we need to do now. These goals, these visions that God has given us, is from our Lord. In the Old Testament, they focused on reaching the Promised Land. They reached on constructing the temple. They had many times where they had goals of living according to the law, right? In their lives, and sometimes they mess that up, and then they'd get renewed passion to start living according to God again. again. And the theme of vision runs all through the Bible. In the New Testament, the primary vision was spread God's news, God's good news to the lost people that are all around us, right? And that's still the mission that we're experiencing today in our lives. So why do we need vision? It acts as a blueprint for the church's future. It's that blueprint. Where are we going? What are we building? What are we headed for in our lives together? When everyone knows the direction we're headed, we can move forward together. We need to be unified. We need to be unified. Just your pastor's heart today, I believe that with all of my heart, that we need a renewed unity together as a church family. I'm not understanding or hearing of any major problems going on, but you know what? Any little thing that starts helping or starts making us run in a different direction or a direction contrary to where the church is, where God's leading our church, you know, that can be divisive, and we need to be very careful to guard the unity of the church. As men and women of God that are part of this church family, I challenge every one of you to guard the unity of the church. If you start hearing someone talk bad about somebody, I tell you right now, you tell them, knock it off. Right? Be bold. Be bold and say, knock it off. We're not going to talk that way about so-and-so. If you have a problem with so-and-so, what's the Bible tell you to do? Go have a conversation with so-and-so. Quit talking to me about it and go have a conversation. Because that's what Scripture tells us to do, right? As men and women of God. Be very careful with the conversations you're allowing to happen in your presence. And be very careful to guard the unity of our church. We need unity in our church family. So what is the mission of the church? The mission explains why the church exists and the purpose of the church. Now, the mission of the church is the same for every church in this world that believes God's word, right? There's nothing new or creative here when it comes to the mission of the church. Every church should have the same mission, and that mission is given to us by Jesus himself. It was given to the disciples before he ascended to the right hand of God. And what was that mission that God had given him? We call it the Great Commission, right? That's that Great Commission. That's what Jesus said you need to do as disciples. And that's the same mission we carry every day of our lives as men and women of God. Nothing creative, nothing earth-shattering here. It's the same as what Jesus gave to the first century church. And so we read it. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We are called by Jesus to go and make disciples. Not just converts, we're called to make disciples. That means we're helping people come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and then we're walking alongside of them to help them to grow as we teach them everything that God has commanded us, right? As we teach them and unpack the Word of God in our relationships with other people. That is the challenge that God has given every one of us, that we need to go and make disciples in our area. And then how do we do that? We can accomplish that by living the Great Commandment. What's the Great Commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, right? That's the commandment that Jesus gives to us. And so we're challenged to love God and love people, and we're challenged to go and make disciples, have a passionate heart for the people that God has placed in your life. That's what we are called to do as men and women of God. And so the mission of the church is the same corporately. Some words that we put together as a staff, just looking at this same kind of idea that every other church exists for, is following Jesus, loving others, and making him known, right? That's what we're called to do as men and women of God. We're called to follow Jesus, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. We're called to love others, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. And we're called to making him known by making disciples, right? Go and make disciples of all nations. And that's what we are called to do as men and women of God. What's the vision of the church? The vision, a statement, is a little bit closer to our home, a little bit closer to who we are. It conveys the direction of what God desires for our congregation. And we came together and we prayed this through. And this is the specific vision that God wants us to become as a church, that we are spirit-driven disciples sharing hope in our community. Wouldn't that be awesome if every one of us started living that way? That we're spirit-driven disciples sharing God's hope into our community. And that's what God is calling us to be as Bethel Christian Church. We need to be spirit-driven. Why? Because the Spirit is the source of our power. We need to walk in partnership with the Holy Spirit every day of our lives. Galatians 5 says this, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves, right? Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Why? So that you don't do what your sinful nature craves." Anyone struggle with your sinful nature in here? You're in good company. We all do. The rest of us aren't being honest or just not raising our hand. We all struggle with that sinful nature inside of us, right? So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not obligated to the law of Moses. Verse 19, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, here's the results. You ready? If you stop following in step with God's Holy Spirit, you're going to start following what your sinful nature desires. The results are very clear, Scripture says. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. When we start submitting to our sinful nature, this is what our life's going to look like. It's going to have all sorts of mess and sinful behavior in our lives every day. It could be sexual perversion, impurity, lustful pleasures. It could be sorcery. It could be hostility or quarreling or outbursts. Have you had an outburst of anger this last week? Right? Have you fought with your wife or your husband this last week? Have you fought with your kids this last week? Right? Maybe a little bit. Yeah, we need to be careful, right? That we're not walking in partnership with our sinful nature. Right? These are byproducts of living according to the sinful nature when your flesh is in charge. This is what your life will look like. Verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your lives. So here's what the Holy Spirit does inside of us, right? It makes us loving, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things there is no law, right? That's how our lives are going to be when we're walking in step with God's Holy Spirit in your life. So I challenge you to reflect on your last week. Who was in charge of your life? Was your flesh in charge of your life? Or was God's Spirit in charge of your life? The outcomes are simple right here in Scripture. What was the outcome of your life? What did your life produce? Were you walking in love? Were you walking with joy? Were you walking with peace? Were you walking with patience? Right? Go on and on through that list. Are those things that are representing your life as men and women of God? Guess what? The more we walk in the Spirit, the more joyful we should become. Man, my wife and I walked into Heinen's right down the street here yesterday. Anyone enjoy Heinen's? Brad does. Brad works at Heinen's, right? Down in Strongsville. Walked into Heinen's, and man, we saw some pretty grumpy people walking out of Heinen's. You know, you look at someone and you say, man, they have no joy right now in their world. It was amazing. You said, man, I don't know what's going on in their world right now. But it was person after person after person. We almost said, maybe we should leave this place. Right? Because we're walking in and all these grumpy faces are walking out. We said, man, what's going on in Heinen's today? You know, they're all grumpy people. I won't tell you they were all old people too. But anyway, you can preach that sermon however you want to. Now cut it. Okay, that's enough. But man, we should be the most joyful people in Parma. Couple amens there. Right? How were you this last week? Were you a joy to live with? Ask your family on the ride home, how joyful was I to live with this last week? Right? Wouldn't that be a fun conversation? Right? And then respond with patience and love and all those other characteristics of God's Holy Spirit. Right? You know, how joyful was I? I think we just need a little bit more of God's Holy Spirit at work in our lives. It's amazing to me that I talk to some people that have sat in a church sanctuary for 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or however many years, and man, they're old grumps. It blows my mind. It's like, how can you be walking with the Spirit for those that many decades in your life and not exhibiting the fruit of God's Holy Spirit in your life? Okay, that's enough of that. Before my wife comes up and, or they mute my mic, I don't know. Verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and their desires and their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. And we could keep going with that passage. But I think right there, that verse 25, man, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Are you walking in step with God's Holy Spirit in every part of your life? That's a question I want us to start evaluating in our lives. If we are going to be Spirit-driven people, then that means we're going to start walking in step with God's Holy Spirit every day of our lives. That means we as a church are going to start walking in step with the Spirit every day of our lives. And that needs to be part of our DNA of who we are as Bethel Christian Church, that we're Spirit-driven people. We believe in the power of God's Holy Spirit at work in our church every day. Amen? We believe every time we gather together that the gifts of God's Holy Spirit are going to be in operation as we gather in the presence of Almighty God. We are Spirit-driven in our lives as men and women of God. God is calling us also to be disciples. It doesn't just stop there. We need to be Spirit-driven disciples. Those are students of God. Right? Acts 11:26, in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. So what is a disciple? A disciple is, Jesus calls his disciples to follow him. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? We preached a whole series about this. I don't know if it was a year or a year and a half ago. I don't know, remember when it was. But you know, that whole idea that we need to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Mathetes is the Greek word, which means that we're a disciple or we're a learner. Right? Jesus called his disciples. They followed him, becoming like him in every way. Are you becoming like Jesus in every way of your life? That's a self-evaluation thing, a clear understanding of what it means to be a disciple is needed in our lives. Some believers argue that the task of making disciples is fulfilled just when someone becomes a Christian, but that's not the goal. The goal is to make people disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, not just converts. Our job is not done when someone accepts Christ as their Lord and Savior. Our job is just beginning, because we need to pour into them. We need to help them. We need to lead them to waters of baptism. We need to walk alongside of them and help them to understand God's holy word. But we need to do that as we become that as men and women of God. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Have you been baptized in water? Are you growing in your understanding of who God is by studying his holy word? We need to become passionate disciples of Jesus Christ. A Christian disciple is an apprentice who follows and imitates Jesus in a mature belief, character, and missional living. We are called to be disciples who make disciples. Are you being healthy in your walk with God? Are you reproducing what God is doing in your life by helping other people come to know Christ and walking with them so that they can become disciples of Jesus? We're an apprentice. Man, Jesus called his disciples, you know what? Leave everything and come and follow me. And what did they do? They left everything and went and followed him. They followed him every day. Jesus said, hey, why don't you sleep here? What do? They slept there. Hey, guys, we're going to go over to this town now and we're going to minister there. What do? We're going over to that town, I guess, Jesus, and we're going to minister there. Right? Everywhere Jesus went, they were with him, right? They were apprentices learning his way. And then guess what? When Jesus died and he rose from the dead, ascended to the right hand of God, then they started taking on the characteristic of who Jesus was and said, we need to start going and helping people come to know Jesus because he transformed my life. And now I need to make other people, you know, understand how much Jesus loves them so that they can come to know him as their Lord and Savior. They were apprentices that followed Jesus. They imitated Jesus. Whatever Jesus did, whatever Jesus said, they started doing in their lives into mature belief. They started growing in their faith, their relationship with God, into mature character, and into missional living. They started living on purpose, with a purpose, right? Living with a purpose, on purpose. How do you say that? Created on purpose for a purpose. That's one of the themes of our academy. I don't know. That just stuck in my brain. I got it wrong, but it was close. On purpose for a purpose. Is that it? Is that it? Yeah, that's it. I'm still questioning myself. Right? But that's what we are. We're men and women of God. We're created, you know, by our Heavenly Father, and we have a purpose inside of us. We're living with mission. What's that mission? That mission is to fall in love with Jesus. That mission is to worship God. Are you worshiping Jesus everywhere you go? Are you worshiping Jesus through every season of your life? Are you saying, God, it's not about the external circumstances that I'm walking in right now, but God, I'm going to worship you passionately. God, I need you to fill me with that joy of your Holy Spirit because I don't have any joy in my flesh right now. Anyone been there? Right? God, I don't have any flesh. I don't have anything left here in my life. But God, I need that because that's what your scripture says is the fruit of my life as I walk in step with your Holy Spirit. So God, overflow me with the joy of your Holy Spirit today. God, that person really aggravated me, really hurt me by the things that they said. And God, I really don't feel very loving towards that person. But God, I need that fruit of the Holy Spirit right now active in my life. Help me to be loving to that person that doesn't deserve it. My flesh wants to rip them apart. But God, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to walk in step with your Holy Spirit today, and I'm going to show love in that relationship, right? I'm going to bring peace. I'm going to be a peace bearer everywhere I go. God, I'm going to show the peace of God's Holy Spirit in the midst of the storm that I'm in right now. God, I can't do it on my own, but God, I need that Holy Spirit to show me that peace so that I can walk in that peace, so that you can be glorified through my life today, right? It's walking in step with God's Holy Spirit every day of our lives. It's living that missional life in our lives. So a Christian disciple, the apprentice who follows, imitates Jesus in a mature belief, character, and missional living. So we're spirit-driven disciples, and we need to share hope. Our world needs hope. Our world's a mess. Right? Turn on the news for 20 minutes, and man, you might become a mess. Right? Be careful what you're allowing into your heart. I don't know about you, but I can only take a little bit at a time of watching the news. But we need to be people that share hope. Our mission is to go and make disciples. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you'll overflow with confident hope through the power of your holy of the Holy Spirit. The world is hungry for hope. The world needs real hope that only comes through Jesus Christ. Real hope only comes through Jesus Christ. God has placed us here in this community to be the living testimony of that hope. Through every outreach and every ministry, our church should be proclaiming that there is hope because Jesus is alive. Every day of your life, you should be sharing there's hope because Jesus is alive. Man, how that changes our lives when we really start understanding that we have a relationship with the God of the universe. Hope, one author wrote, is that confident, happy expectation that something good is going to happen. No matter what you're going through right now, guess what? Big picture, something good's going to happen. Something good. What's that good? One day we're going to be released from this flesh and we're going to be home with our Heavenly Father in His presence for all of eternity. So if nothing else is going right in your life, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you should be overflowing with hope. That, you know, one day this world's going to be done. My race is going to be finished and I'm going to be in the presence of Almighty God for all of eternity. And that should get you excited today. That happy expectation that something good is going to happen, because it is. Let me be the bearer of good news. It's going to happen one day. The rapture of the church is going to happen. How many want the rapture to happen today? Maybe some of you are like, before that annual business meeting would be great, because I hate those things as much as Pastor likes them. Right? Yeah. You know, we should be living with that hope that one day, and maybe today's the day that Christ is going to come again. And we're going to go home and celebrate in the presence of Almighty God for all of eternity. That's something to look forward to in your life. And so I challenge you, start looking. If you're having a problem, looking through the weeds of life and the problems and the issues that you're walking through right now, get your eyes off of that problems that you're facing and start looking at your King and looking at your Lord and say, God, one day I know. God, give me strength to keep walking. Give me strength to stay faithful to You. God, I need to stay faithful to You right now in my life, because that's the most important thing in my life. And so we need to start living that kind of lifestyle where we are overflowing with hope. And then guess what? God does from time to time. There's little pockets of that hope that start bringing forth and breathing life into us. You know, it's not just the big picture, but I know in my life, there's been moments that I've been overwhelmed with the problems and the stresses. And then I hear a testimony about what God's doing in somebody's life. And I'm like, whoa, God, You're still working. You know, then we start praying for salvation, lives to be changed and transformed by the power of God. We start seeing people get saved and start running after Jesus. We start praying, God, we need a miracle right now in our finances, right? You ever been there? God, I need a miracle right now in my household. And then we start seeing God doing little things that start breathing some hope once again into that situation or into that problem or into that struggle that you're facing. And let me tell you, our God is a good God. And so right now, maybe in the midst of that storm, you're saying, God, I need that hope. Well, guess what? We also need to share that hope with people that are around us. Because the greatest story of hope that we can share is that there's a God of the universe that loves you so much and wants a relationship with you. Man, that transforms our lives in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our storms. So wouldn't it be awesome if we started sharing that a little bit with a little bit more intentionality in our lives? I've shared this slide before and I'm going to share it again. You know, there's people that are lost in our community that need a relationship with Jesus Christ. According to statistics, 48% of our county that we sit in right now have no religious affiliation. The other 52, I don't think they're all followers of Jesus or disciples of Jesus. You know, but here's just the stats, okay? This is just stats. So there's 1.263 million people just in this county, and 606,000, according to those stats, need a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's go to the next slide. Within 10 miles of our church, 700,000 people call that their home. 335,000 people need Jesus as their Lord and Savior. How many live within 10 miles of this church? Almost all of us, right? Live within 10 miles of this church. There's 335,000 people, just according to stats, that are lost and headed to hell. And that should shake us. As a church, what am I doing to help people come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior? Guess what? There's a seat or two open that you can bring them to on a Sunday morning to go deeper in their relationship with Jesus. There's conversations you can have under the anointing of God's Holy Spirit to help them come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. We need to be bearers of hope in our community today. So the prayer that we're praying over our church is that we will become spirit-driven disciples sharing hope in our community. And how do we make that happen? Well, we do that by valuing the right things. In our church, we have a couple of guiding values. We're going to talk about this real quickly in closing. We're going to talk about this more over the next couple of weeks as we continue to journey together. But God's given us a couple of guiding values for our church. The first one, We need to be empowered by God's Holy Spirit. Amen? This church needs to be empowered by God's Holy Spirit. If we are to become Spirit-driven disciples, we need the encounters with God's Holy Spirit in our lives. That's our guiding value. That every time we gather together, every time we come under the umbrella of Bethel Christian Church, we're going to have moments where we are empowered by God's Holy Spirit, so that every day when we walk out of this place, every day we go through our lives, that we will be people that are empowered by God's Holy Spirit. The second, we need to be grounded in God's Word. We are a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church. God's Word will always be authority that we preach from this pulpit on a week in and week out basis. It is God's holy Word. Same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't matter what cultural opinions are. Doesn't matter what liberal theology states. We are going to preach God's holy Word. Because God's Word is inspired by God Himself. And it's what God wants us to hang our hat on, to preach and proclaim every time we gather together. We are grounded in His Word. We're also going to be people that are invested in the next generation. We need to be people that are hungry for the next generation. How many want to see your kids and grandkids come into church? Right? Every one of us want to see if we have kids and grandkids. Or maybe if you're younger and you say, I don't have kids and grandkids yet, how many want your parents to come to church, right? We all want that generational, you know, DNA of our church. This isn't saying that older generations are not important, because every generation is important to us to fulfill the mission that God's placed on us. We're an intergenerational church, and we believe in all generations at our church. But let me tell you, part of our DNA, you know, one of the old things that people say is, how do you know what your values are or what you value in life? It's how you spend your money, right? And time, you could say. I don't know how much, I never did a study, but there's a huge percentage of our budget that happens every year that goes into that next generation. Between our academy, between our kids and our youth programs and all the things that we have going on in our church, let me tell you, that is a DNA that's been around this church for a long time. And we're putting it down on paper now and saying, this is what God's calling us to become as a church that is invested in that next generation. We also need to be a church that's unified in relationships. Wouldn't it be awesome if your neighbor came with you to church and was like, wow, this church really likes each other, right? You know, just like Ron said, I think last week, right? This church, this pastoral staff, you know, they're great with each other. And he said, I think they really like each other. And we do. Doesn't mean we could have conflicts every now and then, but we work through them, because that's what we're called to do as men and women of God, right? We really like each other, and hopefully that's the experience that we have in our church family, that we are a church that is unified in relationships, and then we need to be a church that's committed to outreach. We need to share that hope, and we need to be a church that shares that hope with this lost generation that's around us. You know, each of those guiding values, you know, that we're not going to unpack it all today, but there's all sorts of goals and dreams that God's placed in the heart of the staff as we've been looking through all these things. And I don't know, there's like 40 goals that we have over the next 5 years that we want to see God do in our church. We're believing for some pretty big things as a staff. You'll hear more about those things in the coming weeks, but we're believing for God to move in a powerful way in our church. And it can only be done not by our strength, not by our ability, or by our power. It can only be done by the power of God's Holy Spirit at work within us. It can only be done in partnership with God's Holy Spirit. And so my prayer is that we would become a church that's unified together, running in that same direction, believing that God's going to move in a powerful way as we continue to take steps of faith and grow together as a church family. We need God to move in our church. Amen. I know you guys had a song to sing, but I'm going to change it up. Right? That fresh outpouring, is that what it's called? Yeah, sorry guys, we're switching it up. Switch to fresh outpouring. Okay? Sean, make sure you hit the right note over there. He doesn't have notes if you didn't know. Praying for God to move in a powerful way. And give us just a fresh touch of His Holy Spirit in this church family. So today, if you would be so kind, why don't you stand on up? The day of Pentecost, they were gathered together in one place. They were praying for God to pour out His Spirit. And what happened? God poured out His Spirit. Right? Just shook that place. So today, I'm asking you, maybe there's 200 or 200 and something people in this room here today. If God can do it when 120 come together, how much could God do if there's 200 of us that come together and say, God, move in a fresh outpouring of Your Holy Spirit in our lives. We need that empowerment from You today in our church family. So I'm going to make you do something uncomfortable. If you're a guest here today, don't feel obligated to do this. And I don't do this ever. This is not something we do normally. But I think there's something special about coming together around the altar and just praying for our church. So I'm going to ask those that are regular tenders here, those that are members of this church, come forward and find a place of prayer that we can worship God together. And we could be crying out for God to move in a powerful way in our church. In a way that we haven't experienced in a long time, maybe in our lives, like we haven't experienced in a long time in our journeys, in our walk with God. So I just challenge us, let's just go after God and say, God, we need a fresh outpouring of Your Holy Spirit in our church today. God, we need a move of Your Holy Spirit like we haven't experienced in a long time. God, shake this church. God, shake our hearts. God, shake our souls. So that we can see, God, You move in our lives. Lord, give us that anointing that we can go out and we can proclaim Your love to this lost generation. God, give us that anointing so that we can go out and signs and wonders will follow us everywhere we go, just like You did in the book of Acts. God, help us to be able to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. God, I pray that You would just move in a powerful way through our church family. Let's go after God together today. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we need You to move. God, I pray right now that You'd move in this church. God, that You'd move in a fresh and a powerful way in our hearts and in our lives. God, we need a fresh outpouring of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, upon this place right now. God, just come and just fall by Your power and by Your strength right now. God, we need a move of Your Holy Spirit in our lives. God, just come and give us a fresh anointing and a fresh outpouring, God, so that when we walk in and out of this building in a few hours, God, that You will just walk, we'll walk in Your anointing, we'll walk in partnership with Your Holy Spirit, and God, we'll have words to say, we'll speak life, and we'll give hope to those that are around us in our lives, and God, that we will just start praying for sick and seeing miracles take place, Lord, in our lives and through our ministries. God, just move right now through our church. God, I pray that as we gather together, every time we gather together, Lord, we'll see just a sense of Your Holy Spirit. God, we'll pour out a love upon us like we haven't experienced in a long time. God, we'll pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us. God, we'll see all sorts of gifts of Your Holy Spirit in operation. When we gather together, we'll see people that are being healed, people that are being set free from bondage. We'll see miracles taking place as we gather in Your presence. God, we'll hear words of wisdom and words of knowledge that we'll be able to speak over each other. God, help us to walk in step with Your gifts that You've given us. God, I pray for tongues and interpretation, and God, words of prophecy as Your word teaches us that we can experience as we gather together. God, just move in our church in a fresh and a powerful way. God, we need You. We need a fresh outpouring of Your Holy Spirit. God, I just pray right now, Lord, as we sing this song, Lord, that we'll seek You with all of our heart, and God, that You will, Lord, just pour out Your Spirit upon us in a fresh and a new and a powerful way. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, God.
Turn up every cold fear.
for a fresh outpouring on our church, God, that you would just move in a powerful way in our church. And God, that we would become everything you need us to be, Lord. Lord, so that we can do all the things that you need us to do, God. And I just pray right now, Lord, that you would just continue to touch our hearts and our lives in a powerful way. And Lord, help us to be people that are led by your Holy Spirit every day of our lives, that are growing deeper in our relationship with you every day. And God, that you would help us to share hope to this lost, to the lost people that are around us that need a relationship with you. And God, do something fresh inside of us, Lord, by your power and by your strength, God. We need more of you in our lives, God. We thank you for what you're doing in our church. And God, I pray, Lord, that you just continue to move, Lord, through the rest of this day. Lord, in a few minutes as we go into our business meeting, God, I just pray for a sweet presence of your unity and your love for one another. And God, help us to go about your business. And Lord, just a good and a positive and a powerful way. And God, I pray over the food that we're about to eat. And God, that you would bless it to our bodies and bless the fellowship and the conversation around the table. God, we love you so much. Thank you for what you are doing in our church. We love you. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. Hope you have a great fellowship time. Don't anybody leave. Stay and hang out with us, right? Hang out with us. Go right down through those doors, down the hallway. You'll find the gym. You can feel free to grab food, you know, because we just blessed it. It's been blessed. So go on down, find some food, and engage in some conversation with each other. I love you, and we'll see you back up here in a little bit.